Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists. Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
Hello, my name is Rahasia and I'm going to be your host this evening. And I also write a column for the Lotus Guide magazine, and you can find pretty much everything that I do by typing in hashtag Rahasia Uncensored. Welcome to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show here on BBS Radio. And you might be asking, why spiritual? Well, the way I see it, we are misguided souls looking for the truth of who we are. You might be asking, why activist? Well, because we are living in transformative times when we need to take back our power as spiritual beings and take action in the world, not with violence, but by the evolution of spiritual consciousness and bringing what's going on in the world out into the light. Because like it or not, we are deep into everything from genetic modification to artificial intelligence, and at the same time watching a dysfunctional world collapse right before our very eyes, and a global monetary system that is at the end of its run. Its days are coming to a close. So thank you for tuning in for the next hour, and I hope you enjoy the show. Okay, welcome to another episode on the BBS Radio and my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/ Lotus Guide. And I'd like to remind you also, and I always forget, I'm terrible at promoting myself, to remind you to subscribe and push that little bell, that way you can get alerts whenever I put up a new video. And today, I tell you, I just have so much to talk about, and most of my shows are interviews with pretty interesting people, people on the cutting edge, and you know, whistleblowers, UFO people, CIA agents, people that are really on the cutting edge of really trying to figure out the mess that we're in. But lately, I don't know, I've become a little more speculative of the problems that we're facing. And I have to tell you, I'm not a doomsdayer, by the way. I think everything will work out in the end. Like they say in India, if it's not working out, it just isn't the end. But what will that end look like? It's going to be very challenging for a lot of people, and a lot of people won't make it, to be quite honest with you. They never have. Whenever this happens in civilizations, it gets pretty tough. So I'm going to simply talk about what's going on. And it's a lot of things. See, I'm in a pretty good situation in life because I have the time, some of the expertise, and the desire to really do my research and find out what the hell is going on. Because you can't just watch the news. They're all lying, and they're even telling different lies at this point. They're not even being honest with themselves, let alone each other or us. I think they've gotten into this area. I remember when I was taking psychology in college, it was pretty clear and pretty basic. We have defense mechanisms. But those defense mechanisms, they have grown to a point to where you can honestly say it's a psychotic break with reality. These people are delusional. They're so out of their minds that they don't even see that the rest of us are seeing that they're out of their minds. They get little bits of feedback, yeah, but they're out there. You know, Trump. I know I'm not supposed to mention Trump because you get half the people against you or half the people. But you know, we need to get over that and stop being so sensitive. There's a lot of things that Trump has done that I totally agree with. Well, not totally, but somewhat agree with because of the situation we're in. One is the wall. I mean, if we don't build the wall, we have to do something, enforce the laws or something. Take that down to a level to where you can understand what's going on. It makes it a little easier. Just look at your own household, man, wife, couple kids, whatever, and two or three bedrooms, and the household runs fine, really great. So you invite some family over. Now you have another couple with their two or three kids. It's a little awkward, you know, but, you know, the women can work it out and be in the kitchen and do their meals, and the men can share some of the responsibilities. But it creates a problem, though. It creates a problem, like it or not. So now, imagine over the next few months or years, a short time, actually, we're getting more and more people moving into the house. Now you have like 50, 75, 100 people in your house that's actually meant for a family of four. Now you have the bathrooms are shutting down. Forget waiting in line. You can't even get in there. And if you do, they're dysfunctional. The electric bill is completely off the scale. Basically, everything has been broken down and dysfunctional. Doesn't work anymore. And it's not that you don't love the other people. It's not that you don't care about the other people, but there is such a thing as logic. And logic prescribes that only so many people can live in a community and also be responsible. Now imagine out of that 50 or 100 people, most of them not even speaking your language, and most of them needing medical care. They need food. They temporarily need hospitalization when things happen. And you're having to pay for it all. I mean, I know this sounds bizarre and it's socially incorrect to talk about these things, but we have to talk about numbers and common sense here. You know, we can help a lot of the immigrants better by helping them go back to their country and helping them become more stable. Now, granted, I know a lot of their countries are so terrible, they have to get out. That's when we have to start bringing them in, but in a prescribed order to make sure that we're not letting in drug dealers and pedophiles and terrorists and everything else, because they're out there trying to get into this country. Okay, that's one thing. Yeah, it's a pretty big thing. So I can see his point on that. But this latest thing about going into another country and assassinating one of their people that's in their state government, we're just asking to continue a war. I honestly think that, and granted, I don't have all the information that I should have to say this, but if I was the president, I would bring all of our troops home, close down immigration for 10 years, and buckle down to make this country, I hate to say it, but make it great again. I'm not too sure how great it's been in the last century, but to at least stabilize this country and stop draining our taxes into the military, paramilitary, and it gets worse. I mean, look at the chemtrails up over your head. Do you think that's free? No, it costs billions of dollars to spray the whole planet with dangerous chemicals, toxic chemicals. Where are they getting the toxic chemicals? Probably the same system that they got fluoride. Fluoride was a side effect of making aluminum or something, you know, and they didn't know what to do with it. It was piling up. Somebody gets the great idea, oh, let's put it into the water system and tell them it's good for their teeth. You know, we drank fluoride for decades and decades, and now we know it's causing all kinds of genetic problems, and it's not good for your teeth. For heaven's sakes, you know, we need to wake up. Wake the hell up. Let's look at, and I'm going to lace in some other people that's going to substantiate some of this later in the program. But we need to talk about everything, like the vaccinations. Somebody I met recently and did an interview with was Robert Kennedy Jr. Him and his law firm uncovered the fact that they haven't been doing testing on vaccinations for 32 years and telling everybody that they're all safe. That's a game changer. You know, that is going to upset a lot of doctors that believe anything that they're being told, especially if it makes them money. But when that comes out, which it's coming out now, it's going to be a game changer with a lot of people, a lot of well-meaning parents that simply haven't been looking at the research. Come to find out, there is no research on their side. The only research that's being done are the researchers that's researching it to see if it's safe. And it always comes up that it's not. It's not safe. I'm going to play a segment of an interview that Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! Did with General Wilkinson on the state of affairs right now. I'm putting in a garden up here. I live in a little town here in Northern California. I'm putting in a garden. People say, well, why are you putting in a garden? You know, you can grow a couple of pot plants and buy all the vegetables you want to. That's not what I'm doing here. I think we're getting close to requiring us to know how to be responsible and grow our own food. I mean, GMO foods, they permeate this whole planet now. And how do you know when you're buying a seed if it's not GMO seeds? You know, Monsanto is still live and kicking, you know, and Bill Gates, bless his little heart for going into all these communities and giving these people food. But look what he's actually doing on the side. He's bringing in vaccinations. I heard him on a TED Talk. He accidentally, I can't imagine him saying this on purpose. But he said vaccinations, his words, vaccinations would be a really good way to control the global population. I mean, do you have to be more clear than that? The only way it can control the global population is to cut down on sperm count, to create disease, and to make people sicker by depleting their immune system. You know, I put out an article in our Lotus Guide magazine a few years ago now, 3 or 4 years ago, about vaccinations. And you know, every single bit of feedback that I got from the community was pretty much positive by people with a little bit of thinking involved and doing their research. But the one person that really complained bad and told me I'm doing a terrible misjustice to my readers and small children was our local healthcare provider. And she was a naturopath. I mean, go figure. She hasn't even done the research at all. Since then, I sent her some to back her off, basically. I said, just watch this and look at the results here. She won't get back in touch with me now. We went back and forth a couple times, but when I started giving her the research, you know, she's completely silent on this right now. Because I told her, I said, you're the one doing an injustice because you're telling parents that's trying to figure out what to do with their kids to keep them healthy. You're telling them to vaccinate them with vaccinations that have things in them that have no right to be putting in your body, for heaven's sakes. I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm being a little bit patronizing to people when I'm doing something like this, but how could I not? I mean, people, we need to wake up and think. I mean, I still have people telling me that they don't believe in UFOs and the fact that there's beings on other planets in our universe. What are you talking about? There's thousands and thousands of videos, and granted, a lot of them are explained phenomena. Thousands of them cannot be explained other than the fact that they're coming from some other place, another dimension or another planet. And this has been going on for centuries. I mean, it goes 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. Read Ezekiel. I'm sure you know all of this. But recently, our military, it was the Air Force, and actually, if you go to lotusguide.com / Gurdjieff, Gurdjieff, I put a link in there to what I'm telling you right now. The Air Force has readily admitted that now they're saying, yes, we are being visited. There are unidentified crafts flying in our atmosphere. We don't know who they are, where they came from, or what they want. Okay, this is the first step to disclosure, official disclosure, because the evidence is overwhelming. I mean, my God, you talk about an elephant in the room and everybody's taking a picture of it. They're going over and petting the elephant. The government at some point has to say, okay, yeah, there's an elephant sitting over there that we haven't been paying attention to. Sometimes I get a little frustrated. I mean, I see what, whenever I watch Alex Jones, I swear to God, I think he's going to have a heart attack or something. So there's a lot that we can talk about, but we only have 55 minutes. So I think what I'm going to do is start getting into some of the things I've found out about. And like I say, I'm in a sort of a unique situation. A lot of you out there, I mean, especially if you're raising a family or just dealing with life, it's overwhelming. You don't have the time to look into a lot of these things, but I do. I have the time and I have the tenacity and whatever it takes to really get to the truth. And sometimes it takes a little digging, cross-referencing, because believe me, we are being bombarded by disinformation. And disinformation does several things. One, it disrupts and confuses anybody doing any research whatsoever. Like I've seen UFO photographs that they cannot disprove at all. And they're only up there on the internet and everything for a little while. And pretty soon you start seeing the same picture, same UFO picture. But now when you download it and put it into Photoshop, it's been cut out, taken out, and placed back. And now they bombard all of the YouTubes with it, all of the internet with it. They just put it all over the place, and pretty soon you can't even find the original UFO picture. So, and disinformation comes at us to polarize us, which is another thing too. I don't want to get, I am far from being a religious person. I wrote a book a while back called To Believe or Not to Believe, The Social and Neurological Consequences of Belief Systems. I mean, the social consequences, if you don't see that, you're on the wrong channel. But there are neurological consequences. And we know this now. I interviewed neuroscientists that show me the evidence clearly from functional MRIs. To force your mind to believe something that's unbelievable, unsubstantiated, counterintuitive, with no logic whatsoever, no life experience, no history, to make your mind believe that, you have to start cutting synapses to history, biology, just the natural laws of the universe, your own experience with daily happenings. I mean, I have never seen a virgin get pregnant, ever. I have never seen a virgin have a baby. Now, okay, back off. It might be true. Okay, it might be true. I don't think so, but it might be. But to make your mind believe that, you have to think of the biology information you have to cut yourself off of, all the historical evidence, and plus all the evidence coming in that that did not happen. It's a total fabrication that can be really backed up. I have never seen anybody be brought back to life after being dead for 3 days. And really dead. Not just a near-death experience, but I mean absolutely dead. But to force your mind to believe these things really requires some mental gymnastics that are not good neurologically. And first thing you know, I'm sure if you're on my side of this conversation, you've talked to people that are believers, and it's almost like you're talking to a little child. I mean, a little kid, 6 or 7 years old, if you tell them the Noah story, one of the first questions is going to be, how big is that boat to put all these animals in? How did they go out and get all these animals and bring them there? And what made that animal not eat that animal? The boat would have to be so huge that it would be insane, you know?
when I was 6 years old, I got kicked out of Sunday school because the first Sunday I went there, I was told that God created everything and he's really well pleased. I'm thinking, okay, wow, that's pretty good. You know, God created me and this whole world, and he's really... Next Sunday I go back there, he tried to drown us all. And I asked the teacher, I said, well, wait a minute. Why did he create a flood and try to drown everybody when he just got through saying he was really happy with us? There is no answer to that. They kicked me out. They told my parents to come and get me. I'm too young for the class or something. I don't know. And that's becoming a really key phrase. I don't know, and it is what it is. Sometimes you have to be comfortable with that. My name, Rahasia, means mystery. I was given that. I went to India, spent some time there learning meditation, and I was given that name, and I think they give a name so you can think about it. And what I thought about that is I spent so much time trying to figure out the mystery, I forgot to live it. So I try to balance that right now. They don't call it a mystery for nothing. Hello. So what else can we probably bring up in this segment? The war. Oh, my God. You know, the financial institutions, they're almost ready to crumble. Stop and think about this. If we want to stop the endless wars, the whole planet is against us right now. The whole planet. We have somehow become like the Nazis of the world. We have over 800 military bases in other countries. It's costing billions and billions of dollars to support just that, to antagonize people. Granted, maybe some of them are holding the peace, but I'm questioning everything at this point. That's why my segment is called Questioning Our Answers, because our answers don't make sense. It's just nonsense and bullshit. When you really look into it, it's not founded on any science, any facts, anything credible. So we need to stop believing, question everything. Start out with that. I remember when I was talking with David Icke, I said, David, what should I do when I'm trying to tackle some of these subjects? He says, well, the first thing you do is you totally come to grips with the fact that we have totally been lied to and nothing is as it appears to be. Nothing is as true as what they're telling us it is. Start there. Then start out trying to prove it to be true instead of disproving it, because it's disproving it is a deep rabbit hole. But when you go out there armed with truth, it's like a razor, a hot razor through butter. And the only way that somebody can conflict with the truth is by telling a lie. Well, the moment they tell a lie, they have to tell other lies to support that lie and infiltrate the information jungle out there with lies. But that truth is a little antagonistic, mischievous, uncomfortable thing for these people in power that we've let come into power. And we've let this happen in the church. I mean, I don't need to go into the Vatican and try to remind people what's been going on there for centuries. They didn't just start all of a sudden being pedophiles. That just didn't happen like 3 or 4 years ago. They've been doing this for centuries. And stop and think about it. If you and I, you're listening to me right now, if you and I would get together and say, hey, let's create a, we'll call it a religion, based upon unsubstantiated facts, and then we will get the men that's going to be in charge of that religion, put them out there, don't let them get married, stifle their sexuality altogether, and put them in touch with a bunch of little kids, and let's see what happens. My God, what do you think is going to happen when you get a bunch of men together that's sexually frustrated, trying to come up with bizarre reasons why their belief is what it is, and give them all the power? And that's another thing too. What are we going to do? We're going to make Vatican City a country and give them a seat on the United Nations. Let's give them a bunch of power out there too. And Then we'll start giving them a bunch of money, billions of dollars, and see what they do with it. Well, you know what they do with it? They invest it in the Bank of England to support wars. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, Wavy Gravy once said, if you don't laugh about it, it just ain't funny. And it's getting more difficult to laugh about it, but sometimes that's all that's left. Just go, oh my God. How can people believe all of this stuff? You know, then we start looking at politics. Politics is completely broken, corrupt, and we've, through the revolving door of our corporations, we've installed them at the CDC, the FDA, all of these watchdog organizations. And this is coming from people that I've talked to, like ex-CIA people, that's finally had enough. I mean, listen to what Snowden talks about. Listen to what these people are saying to us. Listen to what Kennedy said. We're surrounded by a ruthless, monolithic conspiracy. I mean, how much more clear can you be than that? Listen to the departing speech of Eisenhower talking about the military-industrial complex, and we've let them infiltrate into our government and what they have power over us. And that was in 1960. We're talking 80 years, yeah, 60 years ago. My God, do you think things got better? Do you think they finally seen the light and they said, ooh, we've been caught, you know, that we need to back off? No, they just went deeper underground. And this is, and actually literally, we have military base, deep underground military bases. Look it up, D-U-M-B. All over the planet. We have 150 here in the United States that we know of, that we know of. Look up Phil Snyder. I mean, these are people that really have been involved in some of these deep underground military bases. And you have to, okay, why are they putting deep underground military bases? Why? Do you think it's because they like to live underground? No, they're expecting something. They either know something is coming, asteroid, alien invasion, which they say is going to be a false flag, or they're getting ready for World War III. World War III will be our last war, by the way. They might as well call it the last world war, which the remnants of civilization will probably call that, you know, if there's any of us left. That's going to be a nuclear catastrophe. And this has happened on the planet before, by the way. This has happened before. And there's lots of evidence to show that that has happened. Who is his name? Oppenheimer. He had a top security clearance. He gave a talk one day at one of the universities, and all he said was those atomic bombs that they put off in New Mexico were the first atomic bombs in this era. That got all of his top clearances taken away. Because people go, wait, what do you mean in this era? Well, he's talking about back some of the old Vedic literature, which he was pretty well versed with. So, tell you what, let's, I'm going to come in and out of this. And let's see what some of the people are saying right now that are on the cutting edge of this and have everything to lose by telling you the truth. I mean, I have nothing to gain. I mean, yeah, maybe you'll push my subscribe button or something, but I'm not monetizing my videos. I'm just really feeling conscientious about getting information out there to people, because when this all goes down, which it will, it's all going to collapse. I want to know that I at least tried, especially when my kids and grandkids say, hey, Grandpa, what did you do? Well, I didn't go to Vietnam. I held a sign that said, hell no, I won't go. And I did everything that I'm doing right now, trying to wake people up and give good information. And you can go to lotusguide.com and read our magazine online, by the way. And my radio show is bbsradio.com/spiritualactivist. And the reason it's spiritual activist is because I think every problem we have right now is spiritual in its very nature. But if we don't take action, it's not doing any good to sit around and just talk like this, and you listening to YouTubes or my radio show, and then you go back to your life and not say anything, do anything, or spread the word. We're just mental masturbation at best is all that is. Something to make us feel good in the moment, but it doesn't really do anything. So, and by the way, you know, I'm not religious, even though actually we're hosting the Center for Spiritual Living here at the Lotus Guide Center every Sunday at 10. But it's a really good group of people. But my point is I'm not religious, but I have to say this. The older I get, I'm seeing that there is a war between good and evil. And I don't believe it's a universal war. I think once we go up to a higher level of being and get away from the electromagnetic fields of polar opposites, I think that affects our mental thinking and our posturing. It's hard for us to think of something positive without having a negative aspect to it, and vice versa. I think we are in a war right now, and it's probably close to what biblical texts talk about, but they distort things. So, like the word apocalypse, it doesn't mean the blood's going to be running up to the bellies of donkeys or whatever they're saying. It means a thinning of the veil, and that is what's happening right now. The veil is thinning. So, I think I'm going to start this out by listening to what General Wilkinson had to say about we exist here in America, the United States, to promote war. That's what keeps the Wall Street going. That's what keeps the doctors going. That's what keeps all of our food and drug and agencies and paramilitary, our military. Our military is bigger than most every other military combined. Let's hear what he has to say.
Ever since 9/11, the beast of the national security state, the beast of endless wars, the beast of the alligator that came out of the swamp, for example, and bit Donald Trump just a few days ago, is alive and well. America exists today to make war. How else do we interpret 19 straight years of war and no end in sight? It's part of who we are. It's part of what the American empire is. We are going to lie, cheat, and steal, as Pompeo is doing right now, as Trump is doing right now, as Esper is doing right now, as Lindsey Graham is doing right now, as Tom Cotton is doing right now, and a host of other members of my political party, the Republicans, are doing right now. We are going to cheat and steal to do whatever it is we have to do to continue this war complex. That's the truth of it, and that's the agony of it. What we saw President Trump do was not in President Trump's character, really. Those boys and girls who were getting on those planes at Fort Bragg to augment forces in Iraq, if you look at their faces, and even more importantly, if you look at the faces of the families assembled along the line that they were traversing to get onto the airplanes, you saw a lot of Donald Trump's base. That base voted for Donald Trump because he promised to end these endless wars. He promised to drain the swamp. Well, as I said, an alligator from that swamp jumped out and bit him. And when he ordered the killing of Qasem Soleimani, he was a member of the national security state in good standing. And all that state knows how to do is make war.
Well, and I'm going to be a little maybe rude or socially insensitive right now, but truthfully, unless you are a complete moron, you have to see what's going on here with the deep state. Some of the conspiracy people would call it the Illuminati or the cabal. Tomato, tomato. It's a deep state. It's the underlying force underneath everything that we've been doing for decades, possibly even much longer. But that gets into a different story. I mean, I'm even hearing politicians now calling the Republicans, or the Republicans calling the Democrats, draconian. I mean, this is from the Draco constellation. And this gets into another whole story and episode we could talk about some other time, but that gets really out there when you start bringing extraterrestrials into this. So I'm going to stay a little bit grounded here so we don't go crazy on you, and stay planted with some evidence here. One of the things I'd like to bring up is I'm to the point in my life where I want to wake up. I'm not just doing a workshop junkie tour, doing meditations and pretending like and letting my ego get involved. And I mean, seriously, wake up with a full illumination. It's possible in this life, and I know it is. I've been reading Gurdjieff and Ouspensky since 1974, basically. It's a whole body of teaching that if you're taking philosophy, you know, like a graduate course in philosophy, the books that the more out there philosophical students would read, sort of the underground, it's Gurdjieff and Ouspensky. I mean, who do you think Marianne Williamson and people like Deepak Chopra read? They don't read Joe Dispenza. They will, but that's not where they got their inspiration. Visit my website, lotusguide.com/Gurdjieff, GURDJIEFF. And I write about this because I'm starting a group here in Paradise, and I'm going to limit it to maybe 7 people, serious people that don't want to get involved in the drama of waking up or the bullshit of waking up. I mean, serious people really coming to grips with the facts that there's another level of consciousness. And you might be asking, well, why wake up? You know, we're enjoying the dream, right? No. The dream is collapsing before our very eyes, and it's becoming toxic and dangerous. The air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, the relationships we have, our world economy, everything is toxic, destabilizing, and corrupt, and it is coming down, folks. It's coming down. Now, when it comes down, it's going to be the beginning of something else. For some people, most people, it's going to be very challenging. And I think a lot of people aren't going to make it, quite truthfully. They're not making it now. People are dying and committing suicide. We have more soldiers committing suicide every year than we can even imagine. That we have more soldiers committing suicide that are dying on the battlefields with people pointing rifles at them. This has to tell, like I say, even the morons have to come to grips with this at some point and realize that something is systemically corrupt and wrong on every institution we have, no matter what agency, CIA, FBI, the government, the World Trade Organizations, the United Nations, it doesn't matter. Matter of fact, go to the United Nations website and pull down Agenda 21. If that doesn't scare the hell out of you, I don't know what will. But, okay, getting off track here a little bit, because I want to get into why should we wake up. I've been listening to Ken Wilber for a few years, you know, and he's pretty solid and down to earth. Let's hear what he has to say about waking up.
It's very common in the mystical traditions to, again, talk about your relative, small, conventional, finite self, and then your real self, the true self, the real seer or witness, or your true Christ consciousness, not your individual self. And that individual self has to more or less literally die. And that's the way the traditions talk about it, is it's a death and you have to die. And so the saying is, if you die before you die, then when you die, you won't die. And that's what mystical awakening does. It when you die to the separate, isolated self, which is usually called the ego, but when you die to that separate self, you're introduced into this timeless awareness. And it's called timeless because it simply embraces past, present, and future. And this is something that's happening anyway. And I'll explain that in just a moment. But this whole notion about there being a timeless now, which is what eternity means. Eternity doesn't mean a really, really, really long time. That's how people often take it, but that's not what it means. Eternity means a moment without time. So it's a pure timeless present or timeless now. And even Ludwig Wittgenstein, Mr. Logical Positivism, he nailed it. And it's a perfect explanation. This is a direct quote from Wittgenstein. If we take eternity to mean not everlasting temporal duration, but a moment without time, then eternal life belongs to those who live in the present. So that's where you get that cliche, be here now. So here means infinity. Same with infinity as with eternity. Infinity is not a big space. It's a point without space. So 100% of infinity is right here, all of it. And eternity doesn't mean stretching out forever. It means all of eternity, 100% of it, is right now, all of it. So be here now is a sort of cliche for what you have to do to be enlightened. But the unfortunate, but well, the reason that this timeless now is an ever-present reality is that's all we're actually ever experiencing. And that's why all these traditions maintain that this separate self is actually an illusion. It's not really there. And that's the first thing you realize when you wake up to this.
So waking up, and I've thought about this a lot, you know, how I feel as I'm somewhat waking up. At least I woke up to the point to where I realize that I'm asleep and dreaming. And I think people underestimate how important that is. One way to point that out is imagine yourself at night in a dream. You're totally embedded, engulfed, captivated by the illusion of the dream. You don't know you're dreaming at all. Don't know it at all. The first step to waking up is looking around and seeing that, something isn't quite right here. You know, elephants don't fly. Talk show hosts don't become president. There's something wrong. You're still asleep, but realizing that you're asleep is the first step to waking up. And that's where I feel like I'm at right now. I feel like I'm waking up in an insane asylum, to be honest with you. I get up out of bed, and for some reason, I'm starting to realize that I shouldn't be here. I go downstairs and obviously everybody's acting a little crazy and the people in charge are even more crazy and they're trying to force drugs down me. I say, hey, I want to leave this place. I think I'm okay. They have the keys. They've locked me in. They don't want me to see the reality outside of myself. And that's how I feel. I feel like I'm imprisoned in my reality that I'm waking up in. So I think we're coming to a close of the show right now. But before we come to a complete close, there's a couple of points I'd like to bring up. One, try to visit our website for the magazine, lotusguide.com. And please subscribe and click on the little bell. And if you have any comments, feel free to leave them below. If you're on the YouTube channel, if you're on my radio show, you can always contact me through either info@lotusguide.com, info@lotusguide.com, or my personal email, which is rahasya, R-A-H-A-S-Y-A, @usa.com. And I'll be glad to correspond with you, you know. I get quite a few emails, so it might take me 3 or 4 days, but I sit down and go through them, and I will get back to you. And if you're in the Paradise Chico area, which is like Orville, Redding, and you're interested in Gurdjieff and Ouspensky, a friend of mine, Mark Garrison, he's a surgeon at Enloe. Interesting guy, too. He does robotic surgery. It's pretty interesting. Him and I are starting a class here, and we're doing our preliminary interviews with people that are, one, knows a little bit about Gurdjieff and Ouspensky, and mostly the desire to learn more, and really take advantage of this teaching, which it comes out of some old teachings. It's a little bit like esoteric Sufism, but even that would be limited. It's said that Gurdjieff found 6 of the 9 known Sarmang monasteries. The monasteries that were set up originally, 12 of them, by the priests that left Atlantis and spread out all over the world with this body of knowledge. Whether that's true or not, I have no idea. But don't kill the messenger. Look at the message. And there is a lot to this that really needs to be uncovered and thought about. And like I say, we have the Lotus Guide Center here in Paradise, California. You can also go to our website, which is lotusguide.com/campfire. And there's a place there to, if you want to donate, to help keep the center going. We're doing a lot. We're communicating and collaborating with the local community about rebuilding. The truth be told, it's all about community. It's all about coming together as a community and supporting each other. This is why we're putting in a garden, a community garden, just helping each other figure this out a step at a time. Because even though it's going to be challenging, and I tell you, whatever's coming at us, it's pretty clear that it's going to hit. We don't have any of the safety nets, even the social safety nets. I see social services having a really difficult time taking care of people right now. Los Angeles, Skid Row, 56 square blocks. There's things showing up that they haven't seen these diseases since the 1500s, typhoid fever, and some of the diseases only happens from fecal matter to the mouth. Hygiene is a big problem when you get tens of thousands of homeless people together that are desperate on drugs, don't know if they're coming or going, can't see any hope for tomorrow. San Francisco, same way. Seattle, Chicago, New York, all the big cities are having a big situation with homeless people that are destitute and really in need. And like I say, we don't have the social services to help support that, which is another reason we have to think about the immigration laws and be a little more discreet on how many people we let into the country and what kind of people. Other countries have made a terrible mistake. France, Germany especially. If you talk to anybody that lives in Germany, they'll tell you the German culture is gone, never to return again. It's gone. That's yesterday. That's history. Completely, absolutely gone. In France, 70% of the people that are in prison are Islamic people. I mean, I'm not saying anything about the Islams and, you know, don't start getting on my kids. That's what I mean. We're so touchy in this country. I guess some people got on my case because I called somebody a him, and he's socially defined himself as a her. Okay, that's good. You know, I don't mind. Go for it. But I shouldn't have to change my life because they're socially redefining themselves. I mean, they can socially redefine themselves as anything, but I shouldn't have to change my life and all of the laws of biology to adapt to their world. which is a really tiny, small world. I mean, there's not many people doing that. But we are so touchy about everything that we do now. Professors, I talked to some professors here at the local university in Chico. They have to be careful, very careful, not to say something that would be in conflict with a student's beliefs about how they believe the world should be. Isn't that what professors are supposed to do? Antagonize and, you know, push and prod a student into thinking? But they say if they do, they'll form a group, start picketing outside, and they could lose their job. And plus, if they don't toe the line according to what they're supposed to be teaching, they can lose grants. And they were telling me that 40% of their income is sort of, not officially, but they say they sort of assume that you're going to get grants to cover 40% of what the university pays you, especially in the big Ivy League places. Another craziness is comedians. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but go on Netflix and look at some of the recent comedians. They're not even funny. Well, I was listening to Joe Rogan talk to one of the comedians about this, and they said the reason for that is they can't go out there beyond a certain parameter of comfortableness for people, because if they do, they won't get any more venues, for one. But what do comedians do? They push the boundaries. They start waking us up. And yeah, once in a while they go too far, and then they have to back up, maybe even apologize a little bit. But now they can't say anything about anybody, about anything or anywhere, because somebody will get upset. But we've let the minority of people that speak loud really control how we can act, how we can be, how we can see the world, how we can talk. And it's really showing up drastically in our government, in our schools. I mean, imagine what a young kid is going through right now. You can't even explain this to a young kid, because they're born into this. They're born into all this madness, the technology, everything. It'd be like trying to explain to a fish what it feels like to be dry. A fish doesn't even know what it feels like to be wet. It has no baseline to compare that to. Kids nowadays, they don't know what it felt like to be alive in the 50s or 60s. Well, they see movies, but that's about it. So I'm going to sign off for now, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks. These shows always are posted on BBS Radio, and the show plays every other Saturday at 6:30. And it's also on my YouTube channel if you prefer to see my face and some of the things that go on in the background. And we'll see you then. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to push that subscribe and that little bell. That helps me, and that would be much appreciated. And leave a comment. You know, if I said something to offend you, we'll see if we can work it out. We'll communicate. That's what life is about.